Lamar fakes the jet sweep, keeps it on the quarterback read option, and he's out to the 45-yard line. Let's see the exact spot. First down, Ravens, and with 1:48 in Dallas left to play for the first time in 2024, the Hayes in the barn.
Ravens radio on that call, and that was the one that sealed it. It was a furious comeback by the Dallas Cowboys offense. Finally, they woke up a little bit, but I think that was a little more to do with the Ravens kind of thinking they had this thing won. Perloff, welcome to the show, by the way. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I think there's going to be a few people who think, oh, okay, maybe the Cowboys found something here at the end of the game. Maybe you use that as momentum. Next week you play the Giants, so maybe you go in and you kind of steamroll the Giants or what have you. I would not do that if I were a Cowboy fan. The panic feels good right now if I'm a Cowboy fan, because all the things that I was worried about heading into the season seem to be coming to fruition. They cannot stop the run. This, you do not need to be a football savant to realize how this team is broken.
I totally understand what you're saying, but you have to understand one thing about this game. Lamar Jackson was not walking out of there with a loss. As I said on Friday, like he's going to run every time because the Ravens were so desperate. So I wonder, I mean, I hate to say it, they play the Giants next week. They're not going to face a rushing attack like Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. So I'm hoping this is the high watermark of the Cowboys' bad run defense, and that it can't get worse. I mean, this was a tough assignment. I mean, a desperate Ravens team with Derrick Henry, who should be wearing a star on his helmet. They should have signed that guy. And Lamar just, you saw in the when the game got close to the end, Lamar's like, I'm not going to pass the ball at all. I'm just going to run every play. So will you at least give that consideration when you kind of rip the Cowboys here?
Well, no, Zay Flowers, remember, had a really big catch at the end of the game, too, which was important.
Yeah, they one throw.
But again, that was a big one. Will I give the Cowboys that consideration? No, I will not, because there is a formula to beat this team. Now, they might get lucky, the Cowboys, and they might just play teams that are way less talented than them. But there, I think that even if you're less talented than the Cowboys, it's such an easy formula, easy for me to say, but it's an easy formula on how to beat them that even if you aren't as talented, you should probably win the game. Or there's at least a path, a clear path. Like, that's the most frustrating thing about a football team, Perloff, when you're supposed to be good. Not like a team that's going to win two games or three games. Okay, that's whatever, a lost season. When you have a team that's supposed to be good and the book is out on you and you still can't do anything to change your fortunes outside of garbage time, you know, get lucky with the onside kick. Zay Flowers, bad job there. But you get lucky with the onside kick and all of a sudden now Dak looks good. It almost, like, feels worse because you might trick yourself into thinking that this is actually, you found something here when you haven't. The book is out on the Cowboys. You get an early lead, you run the ball, you will win the game.
Okay, are you betting against them next week against the Giants?
Well, I don't know if the Giants have the personnel to be able to do this, but I did say that the Cowboys were not going to make the playoffs this year, and I feel a tiny bit better about that.
Yeah, and then, okay, then they go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh should have the formula to run on them, but
they
then
will lose that game.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you're burying the Cowboys too soon.
Well, I think they deserve to be buried. And I know that the Ravens were desperate, and I get it that they are set up uniquely to take advantage of the Cowboys. But show a little backbone because, by the way, you should have been desperate too. And we just talk about the Ravens coming in 0-2. The Cowboys have just gotten the brakes beat off of them by the Saints, who lost to your Eagles yesterday. It's not like the Saints are this true juggernaut. They just got off to a hot start. The Cowboys should be embarrassed by this.
Yes, but I don't know. I mean, the Ravens are a way better team. I think the Eagles would get destroyed by the Ravens, too. I just think that you don't have to be great to win the NFC East this year. You saw the Eagles have major, major injury concerns. I think Dallas just needs to hang around and beat the teams that they should beat. Baltimore is not one of those teams. I mean, if they kill the Giants next week, I'd like to see you hold on to this energy.
I'm going to, because the Giants, yes, they went and beat Cleveland. Big whoop. Like, that is not going to make me think, oh my gosh, the Giants really have something here. It doesn't.
The Giants could try that formula. Who's their guy? They have Motor, Singletary,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, David Singletary.
And Daniel Jones can run, so maybe they try and do what the Ravens did. And the Steelers the same way. I don't think those are going to be two losses. In fact, and I like the fact that the Steelers can, you know, they're 3-0, but they can't score any points. Maybe that gives the opportunity to the Cowboys. We'll see.
We'll get into the Steelers. They go to 3-0, beating the Chargers at home yesterday, but Justin Herbert leaves the game with an ankle injury. Let's hear a little Jerry Jones. Why not? Actually, Ryan, let's start with cut eight, please. Jerry Jones says the Cowboys couldn't get out of their own way, but is taking some positives from the comeback.
It just seemed like we couldn't get out of our own way. But it's just a reminder of what this game is about. They can take some of what they showed out at the end of that game, and we can go forward with that.
Yeah, I don't think that's what's happening here. More from Jerry. Said the team looked ragged.
We were ragged in a lot of areas, and that can be improved on.
Yeah, I mean, the coaching staff, like, there's a saying, Perloff, and I don't know if this is a little bit more for women, like when you get your makeup professionally done, that it's not a scalpel, okay? Like, you can only change so much of what you look like with makeup. It's they're artists. They're not plastic surgeons, okay? You're still going to look like you. And I think I'm reminded that Jerry, who knows a little something about plastic surgery, would understand this. I think that they're asking the coaching staff to, like, coach up these guys, but the talent's not there. See, to me, this is Jerry pushing this on the coaching staff when I think it's the front office who didn't do enough. And there's 100 reasons for that, but you couldn't stop the run last year. You can't stop the run this year. You didn't make meaningful upgrades to try to stop the run. In fact, you didn't make meaningful upgrades on anything. So congrats. You paid Dak Prescott, you paid CeeDee Lamb, and all that stuff got done, so good for you. But where was the meaningful upgrade to actually address this need?
Yeah, it's not working. Hopefully Mazi Smith gets better. They got Overshawn back and looked good in week one. Now, of course, as you point out, they need to get the lead to unleash those pass rushers.
Exactly. Playing against the Cleveland Browns, turns out, is not the litmus test that really matters.
The key games are coming up for the Cowboys. This was going to be this is a tough game. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
If they're 1-2 now, they have very, very tough games. Detroit and San Francisco are on that. But San Francisco has so many injuries. Atlanta can't move the ball offensively. I'm looking at all their competition. They still are lined up to beat Philadelphia. They know how to beat Philadelphia very well. Dak owns the Eagles. I'm telling you, you might be burying them a little too soon because, not because they're good in any way and not because they can stop the run, but the NFC East is not great, Maggie.
That's fine, but it's comical to tell me that you think the Cowboys are going to beat the 49ers. No shot. The 49ers could roll out there with the four of us, and I feel like the Cowboys would lose.
I mean, the 49ers, did you see Trent Williams go up and down?
I did, but
I just think if that
the Cowboys never beat the 49ers lately.
Yeah, I don't know who the 49ers are throwing out there by then. It doesn't look like Ayuk's the same person anymore.
That is true. We'll talk more about the 49ers. Yeah. Now, disappointing that game was for them. You had it. You had a division win in your grasp where you're down a lot of players, the Rams are down a lot of players, and you just had a chance to just, like, go in, win a game on the road, feel a little bit better about yourself, and instead the exact opposite happens where you allow the Rams to steal that from you literally in the final seconds of the game. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, on the road, technically on the road.
Right. I get it.
You have 80,000 people cheering for you in LA. I don't know if that's really on the road.
Does the almost comeback matter for the Cowboys? You heard Jerry Jones. It matters to him. He thinks that they can build off of this. Does it matter to you, Cowboys fans? The almost comeback. The near comeback. To me, no. If I'm voting on that poll, which I'm assuming is a poll, yes, EJ's saying yes. On X. Does it matter? 855-212-4227. I like Hudat for Life says, watch the Cowboys beat the 49ers because Maggie overlooks them. I don't think I have that kind of power. I'm just going off the history.
Yeah, I'm kind of seeing where this is going with the Cowboys. They're a hard team to read. You never know what they're going to do.
You know, the funny thing, though, you said that Derrick Henry, who makes his home in Dallas in the offseason, you know, trains in Dallas, the whole thing yesterday, he should be on the Cowboys. He wanted to be on the Cowboys. He finds himself on the Ravens. It's not a bad landing spot. But I think the interesting question is, you know, I feel like you and I argued about this, actually, Perloff.
Yeah.
Not having a great running back and trying to do this for the Cowboys with three different running backs, and Zeke even missed an easy pass, yesterday, and Dak was off. But is this coming back to haunt them? The fact that they never really shored up that room and never really took care of it, I think you're seeing now, it was a bad idea. It was a bad formula they missed.
Yeah, well, it's funny you're talking about the run defense. I mean, my grandmother's faster than Ezekiel Elliott, and she sadly has passed.
Oh,
no, I actually didn't know where that was going, but he's so washed. I love Deuce Vaughn, but he's not meant to be a primary running. He's not meant to be a between the tackles guy. And Regal Dattle's just okay. No, that was a disaster. That to me, if you look at this offseason, the rookie linemen have been making rookie mistakes, as you'd expect. So I thought they could fill in. Listen, those are problems. I'm not going to lie, but you saw, you know, Dak is going to light up some bad teams. That's what the Cowboys do. They're definitely going to. They're not going to be 3, and the way you're describing them is everyone's going to run over them and use this formula. It's just not going to happen because there are a lot of teams that can't do what the Ravens do. I'm not as panicky as you at all.
855-212-4227. Okay, so you're welcome to weigh in on the Cowboys. Who do you put the loss on, and does the almost comeback mean anything to you? The almost comeback? I mean, the loss is either on the run defense. Is it more on Jerry in the front office not actually going all in, or is it on the players on the field?
Jerry kind of took a shot at our buddy Matt Mosley, too. Doomsday Podcast, good friend of the show. He asked, why didn't you sign Henry? He goes, well, why can't you afford a mansion? We just didn't have the money. I was like, whoa,
that
Jerry.
Got personal.
Why are you going after Matt, who actually probably has a very big house? So I don't even know what he was talking about.
It's like, Matt has got 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have now heard Jerry answer this question about not signing Derrick Henry at least 200 times. Isn't it weird? Just like, and he just keeps on answering it. Like, why don't you say, I already addressed that in the off season.
Jerry will never say, I already addressed that. He's like, thank you again for asking me again. Yeah. Why am I here if not to address that?
Has he ever said, I've already, you know, Belichick would always say that. I already said that. You can look at the transcript from Tuesday. Yeah, he used to say that all the time. Jerry's never once said that.
Yeah, because Belichick's there so he won't get fined. Jerry's there voluntarily. No one's ever like, we really got to hear from the owner today. It said nobody in history. Also, how funny was this last night, Sunday Night Football, if you guys missed that? The Chiefs hang on and beat the Falcons, but Arthur Blank, the owner of the team, was put into the Ring of Honor. I'm like, wow, what a prestigious honor. You put yourself in your own Ring of Honor.
Should that be allowed?
I mean,
I feel like Arthur Blank, that's fine.
He's been nice to us. It's not about that. But
he seems like a cool owner of all the owners.
Listen, of all the owners, I've got my thoughts on billionaires, but that's fine. I think it's immoral to be a billionaire, but that's me. I just think that who is the brown-nosing employee who came up with this idea?
By the way, Maggie wearing a pink shirt when she makes that comment. I'm just saying.
What?
Well, I'm just, you know, that's a communist theory that it's immoral to be a billionaire. But
why communists don't wear pink? This is way too flashy. You got to wear dark, drab colors, don't you?
Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. Regardless, Arthur Blank, he always shows up at the sideline. Like, he's always like, because the Falcons are always in a game in the last 2 minutes, and he's always there.
If I were him, just because I'm really superstitious, when I came down to the sideline for 28-3, I would have never been on the sideline again. You know, he came down during the Super Bowl. They thought they had the game won. I would have never, ever, ever come down to the sideline again, but he's still doing it.
Boy, you think about it. Atlanta's never like in a 35-14 game. It's always coming down to, and Kirk Cousins seems to lend himself to that. Like, he doesn't show up until he needs to. I don't even know how we got onto Atlanta. But can we also share an important statistic from this segment?
Yeah.
Perloff, 2-for-2 on the impersonations. I could tell Ryan Botcher on the other side of the glass impressed. Both Jerry Jones and Bill Belichick nailed.
Oh, the second one I didn't even realize. The first one I did. I was like, okay, cool.
Oh, that was Belichick? Oh, yeah. I thought you were just talking. Yeah, Pearl nailed it.
2-for-2, baby. Batting 1,000 today.
That was perfect. David is in Texas. Not happy with the Cowboys. What's up, David?
Yeah, I mean, I'd just like to say, you know, we've gone off and paid Dak and CD, but we're going to suffer for the next several years, just like every team has ever paid a quarterback who hasn't proven himself. Kirk Cousins has done it everywhere he's gone. They've paid him big money, and they've never had enough money to help him out. So that's just where we're at. You're not going to be able to help your defense. You're not going to be able to help your offense. You're stuck. That's where you're at.
You know, David, the thought did cross my mind yesterday. Thank you for the phone call about when Dak was playing pretty poorly and so badly in the first 3 quarters, even Tom Brady was kind of calling it out, which takes a lot. And I thought about something you said. I think you did this for a Sports Minute, actually, recently. And I think it seeped into my brain. Everyone who got paid this offseason, who's doing well?
Well, the only $50 million quarterback to win any games was Justin Herbert, and he's doing nothing.
And yeah, now he got hurt.
It's been a disaster. All the new $50 million quarterbacks have been terrible.
But in just everybody who got paid, CeeDee Lamb has been bad.
Has CeeDee Lamb been, actually, I have not been aware of that. Has he been bad? Has he dropped the ball?
I thought yesterday he was not good. He's getting called out for his body language is bad. There were a lot of things that looked like the Packer game yesterday for most of that game until a feverish comeback attempt by the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, also, there's some injury. Like, Tua got hurt. Jordan Love got hurt.
That's
so I don't know if you call that bad. Trevor Lawrence has been bad. We'll see. I mean, you're a bit nervous that he'll bounce back.
Totally. Tonight, Monday Night Football, Jags and Buffalo.
But, you know, I think the key issue is guys who held out. It really has hurt them. And I think I always said, oh, don't worry. I think I said that about the Bengals and the Niners. I'm like, don't worry. These are just negotiations. I'm not going to play into that. And you said, well, I don't know. They might come out a little rusty. And I poo-pooed you. They've been a little rusty, these holdout guys.
No doubt. And the thought did cross my mind. I was like, man, did the Cowboys make a mistake with Dak Prescott?
Oh.
By giving him all that money?
Yeah.
Dak had a message for you haters out there.
Yeah? What was the message?
He said, jump off if you want to.
Fine. I'm
Maggie's
off.
Maggie's way off.
I said they weren't making the playoffs before the season.
That was a little bold of him to be, like, walking off the field and I don't know. I just, something about Dak Prescott is starting to bother me when it comes to the level of, like, corniness, when it comes to, like, these moves of, like, talking to the media about, oh, I don't play for the money.
Right.
And then, like, you sign the richest contract or jump off when you want to. It's like, well, your team was losing by, like, 20 points again at home. Like, at some point, like, can we just acknowledge what's happening?
Right.
Can we acknowledge that you're in a long contract dispute because you want to be the highest paid? Can we acknowledge that people are down on your team because you keep failing in the playoffs and you keep, you know, not showing up in these home games and these big premier atmospheres? Like, it's just like it's like they live in a whole universe. Maybe it's the Jerry aspect. Maybe Jerry rubbing off on him. It feels like he lives in another world sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like you're getting gaslit a little bit by, you know, when there's just, it's so, the message is so not what you're actually seeing on the field. Right?
And it'd be different if, like, this was a guy where you're talking about you've won Super Bowls. You've taken this team so deep. It's like, oh, you guys are going to doubt on us now? All right.
Like when Aaron Rodgers says
exactly.
Even though Rodgers hasn't won in a long time and now he's playing for the Jets, when he said, listen, you know, you want to get off now, then don't come back on. Like, I didn't like that move that when Rodgers said that, because I'm like, you don't know the Jets fan base. They've been through a lot. But at least Rodgers has a lot more gravitas to say that.
Yeah, he has a track record to stand on. Like, what track record does Dak Prescott have to tell Cowboys fans, jump off the bandwagon now if you want to? They've been waiting to jump. They've been ready. They've been like, I'm one more game and I can't do this anymore. And he's like, oh, go ahead and do it. It's like, well, you put them on the ledge, dude. You put them on the ledge.
Big Dave jumped.
Yeah, he's gone already.
He's a Bengals fan.
I know.
Now.
He's Houday Nation now. Houday Nation, whatever the hell they call it. Houday.
855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. Again, we're on our rundown is literally every single team in the league. But if you want to make sure your team gets in on the show, then you've got to call us. 855-212-4227. Coming up, whose stock is up, whose stock is down after a big weekend, not just in the NFL, but college as well. We'll get to that next with the M&P 500.
It was an emotional Sunday for me. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. The Eagles lost the game to the Saints and won the game against the Saints, and it went back and forth. Saints don't do anything all day. Then Chris Olave somehow catches a ball like a ballerina. That was the craziest touchdown, that he kept his feet in bounds, and I thought the Eagles were lost. 3rd and 16, Jalen Hurts to Dallas Goddard. Eagles win. I'm still not sure what happened. I'm still not sure if Nick Sirianni's a good coach. But
I don't know if he knows what happened.
The Eagles are 2-1, and the Saints are 2-1.
Yeah, Chris is in Birmingham. So, Chris, you called up last week. I said I thought the Saints were fool's gold at 2-0, and you said thank you for doubting the Saints because you thought it would put a chip on their shoulder or you guys could be under the radar. How are you feeling today after that loss to the Eagles?
I won't give the Eagles any kind of credit. We did everything we can to literally lose that game on offense because we couldn't convert. It was literally the Packers game all over again from last year. Mm. Like, we win in a plus turnover margin, what, for a block punt, INT, a couple fumble. Nick Sirianni did everything he can to lose the game, too.
Everything.
Because you wouldn't respect the respect the defense, and we literally should have capitalized off all five of those opportunities. So,
Chris, Chris, real quick, Taysom Hill is in that game. Do the Saints win the game?
Possibly. Hell, you can say the same thing when my offensive lineman went down, my starting center went down. But I digress. No use crying over that spilled milk. But can we not give the Cowboys any kind of notoriety, please, guys? Like,
I'm not. I did not think there was anything to build on at the end.
Don't even give that game a breath of fresh air worth talking about, okay?
Chris, we'll try. This is going to be tough, though, for the Saints. And thank you for the phone call. At Atlanta next week, and then at Kansas City, then Tampa, then Denver. And I don't know what Denver's going to look like. Denver, all of a sudden, their defense looked really good against Tampa yesterday. Bo Nix looked fine.
Do you know how any of those teams you just said are going to look?
I don't.
Atlanta will be like, just fast forward to 30 seconds left. Which coach makes a dumber move is up for grabs. And then the Chiefs are definitely going to play to the last second and get a good call.
I know they'll win, though.
And then the Bucks, who knows?
Yeah, that's a little crazy. All right. We do this on Mondays and sometimes on Fridays. Let's hit the M&P 500.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, this is where we go stock up, stock down after what we saw this weekend. Perloff, you want to hit us off with a stock up? You want to go first?
Well, I don't know if this is a stock up or a stock down on all the haters, but a certain redheaded quarterback made a statement this weekend. Andrew James Dalton III lit up. Who did the Panthers beat again? I can't even remember. Whatever.
The Raiders.
Right. Well, the Raiders. I mean, who cares about that? But so Andy Dalton looks amazing in an offense that reportedly did not work. All of a sudden, in the first half, Andy Dalton throws for 3 touchdowns, no picks, over 200 yards. It was incredible. A wonderful day for my buddy. And I'm so happy. I don't know if they build on that, but it did show you how bad Bryce Young is.
It's amazing to me. And, you know, Diana Rossini had basically reported, I don't know if she was reporting this, but she said that Bryce Young will never play for the Carolina Panthers ever again, but they're going to wait till the offseason to trade him. I'd trade him right now if you could find anyone to take him. But
you got a 6-round pick.
I don't know what's going to be in the offseason. Any better? I doubt it. Andy Dalton did look fantastic. For me, stock up. How about a little Shedeur Sanders? How in the heck did they convert that Hail Mary? I've watched it 20 times. It's like the most amazingly casual catch in the end zone.
It was
right,
kind of open.
but kind of not. It's like through the hands of the defender, kind of. It was as
but I mean, for ground. A Hail Mary, there was like...
Lot of traffic.
That was bizarre. And by the way, and there was another one that Shedeur threw down there that should have been a touchdown.
That was dropped.
Well.
The play before, you thought, all right, that was the opportunity, and they blew it. And then here comes Shedeur Sanders and throws the Hail Mary. I know our own Andrew Kaplan, big Colorado Buffs fan, alum from Colorado. This was an unreal moment, and really probably saved at least the vibes for Colorado to beat Baylor like that. And now we'll see what else happens in Big 12 play. But that was a big win for the Buffaloes.
Yeah, but...
And Shador's arm is amazing.
It was a big win, but where's the lead? I mean, is this team any good?
I mean, good. They're trying to make a bowl, right?
Is that what we're talking about? So now, just to be clear, that's what we're talking about with Colorado.
I think that's what we're talking about. I don't think we're talking about college football playoff. I think we're talking about a bowl game.
Yeah, I mean,
be able to stop
some people thought moving to the Big 12 would make things a lot easier because of Pac-12. So, okay, we've already lowered our expectation of making a bowl. And even that's still going to be tough. Okay, stock down. I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins front office. This is your answer at quarterback, Skylar Thompson, who I guess had one good game against the Bills. And then your emergency quarterback is Tim Boyle. I don't understand. You have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. You probably should add a better backup to Tua. I've seen reporters say that Tua didn't really want competition in the building. And now you have this faith that Tua is going to come back and do anything. You haven't won a playoff game since 2000, and I don't see any future playoff wins.
Why was Huntley not in the game yesterday? He doesn't know the playbook yet?
He was not active.
He wasn't active.
Yeah, he was the third emergency quarterback.
But Tim Boyle just got there, too. I just guess he's older and knows every playbook at this point, right?
Knows every playbook.
Not well.
Knowing it and executing it, two very different things. You're right. The Dolphins have to do something now, right?
Well,
they have to make a move. You can't just wave the white flag on the season. It's September 23rd.
You don't think the Tim Boyle, Snoop Huntley combo is going to get it done?
No.
I mean, maybe they think Tua's back in 4 weeks. They really might.
Yeah, and then what happens? And then he's out again. Like, he gets hit one more time. It could be career-ending. Okay, that's a stock down. I got a stock down for you. How about the Houston Texans offensive line? How did he get called for four pre-snap penalties in the same drive?
That's loud.
Great. Okay, so stock up Minnesota fans.
Yeah, it's huge stock up for that. Those fans.
11 penalties, 88 yards. I guess so. I don't know. At some point, yeah, it's loud. Yeah. But you can't have four pre-snap penalties on the same drive. You were basically at a third and five, I think, at the 25, and you ended up punting or kicking a field goal.
Blame the highest paid left tackle in the league, I think, or one of them, and Laremy Tunsil. What did he have, four Tunsil, ball starts in a row or something?
Tunsil was awful. And so I guess, like, yeah, Minnesota fans for sure will talk about Sam Darnold and talk about Brian Flores' defense, and all of that is great. But for me, boo on the Texans' offensive line.
Okay, stock up real quick. I know we're running out of time here. Can we talk about Malik Nabers? I know Andrew Bogus is in. You know how good you have to be as a wide receiver to make Daniel Jones look good? I mean, Malik Nabers is putting that theory to the test. Daniel Jones is throwing it a good 4 feet away from him, and he is pulling kind of Odell Beckham Jr. moves. That guy is awesome. I told everyone here he's going to be awesome. I told everyone, do not draft a quarterback. Draft Malik Nabers, because he will make any quarterback better, and he is even better than I thought. That guy is a superstar for the Giants.
You're right. He is amazing.
Can't pass, though. Not a quarterback.
Does it bother you, Bogus, seeing Daniel Jones get touchdowns when he didn't deserve them?
No, it does not bother me. It bothered me the Giants being down 7-0 after 11 seconds. And then it bothered me when I thought Deshaun Watson was going to stumble into a touchdown and win that game 22-21. But all the in-between stuff was fun.
Did it bother you when the Browns, of course, fumbled in the red zone to cost themselves a game?
No, I'd say I wanted a win. They should stack some more losses, the Giants, and then throw another win in, and then that'll be good for the year. That's all I need.
That's all you need. Yeah. Okay, one more stock up, stock down as the M&P 500. I'm going to go with the Michigan defense. Stock back up for Michigan. You get blown out by Texas, and everyone's writing your obituary. Come back. Very nice win against USC. And that was a really exciting game. We'll talk more about that. But the defense showed up again. The offense is atrocious for Michigan. They cannot pass the ball. The rushing offense is fine. They cannot pass the ball. But Michigan defense should get the credit for that win. And they beat USC. Yeah.
I had a stock up Michigan defensive tackle Mason Graham. That guy is... Give him me in the NFL. He is super.
How about Will Johnson?
I know
he didn't finish the game, but you want to talk about jumping on a route? I mean, it looked like he had a rocket ship on his back. I mean, he just flew to get that pick six.
They were talking about him being a number one overall pick. I mean, that's not going to happen. It'll probably be a quarterback, but still. Okay, a stock down, Perloff. Who's your last one?
Oh, I thought we were done here.
I've got one for you.
Give me one more stock down.
It's got to be Derek Carr. You know, the interception at the end, you didn't need that. That was a bad interception. This is what happens.
How much time was left, though? That same thing happened to Jalen Hurts last week.
I know, but you had like 35 seconds. I think you had another timeout. You do not need to be going for that much on that play, in my opinion.
This is not Patrick Mahomes. 30 seconds is not a lot of time.
But you have to push
it. You have to push it downfield. I don't know. I thought Derek Carr, again, I can't believe I'm defending Derek Carr. That was a weird game. Dennis Allen probably cost him at least 17 points.
You have a stock down or you want to hand it to
Bogus? Let's hand it to Bogus.
Okay, there you go. M&P 500, stock up, stock down for the weekend. Bogues, what do you have?
I got headlines sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code M&P to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. So you guys had a caller last hour who said the Chiefs are called for more penalties than we think. But last weekend, the officials did correctly call P.I. on the Bengals, giving KC a chance for the winning field goal. Then last night in Atlanta, P.I. should have been called against the Chiefs in the end zone, giving the Falcons a chance at the go-ahead point, but the flag never came. Falcons head coach Raheem Morris wanted no part of this discussion postgame.
I like my money that Arthur Blank gives me. I'm very smart enough to be aware enough to talk about officials. They made the call, or they didn't make the call. It is what it is. We had a chance to win the football game on the last play of the game.
The Falcons did miss on the ensuing fourth down, then again on their last possession, letting the Chiefs leave town with a 22-17 win. and a 3-0 start, but Patrick Mahomes says he specifically is far from perfect right now.
I feel like I haven't played very well, and that's not a stats thing. I just feel like I'm missing opportunities whenever they're out there and not throwing the ball in the exact spot I want it to be at. So it's about me getting back to my fundamentals, putting our guys in the right position, and then we got to execute at a higher level offensively.
But again, they're 3-0. They're not the Titans, who are 0-3 after getting run over by Malik Willis and the Packers, 30-14 in Nashville. You may remember that Willis was a Titan until a late summer trade. Matt LaFleur very thankful Tennessee gave up on him.
What he's been able to do is, I've never seen something like this. So hats off to him. Hats off to everybody around him. Guys rallying, having his back.
Will Levis, meanwhile, 3 more turnovers. This is the Titans' worst start since 0-6 in 2009. They've lost 21 of their last 27 games overall. The Mets, meanwhile, have won 18 of 23, including 3 of 4 from the Phillies this weekend.
First pitch on the way, hit deep to right field. Will the wind hold this one back? Castellanos at the track, at the wall, he jumps. Gone, a home run!
Wow.
Brandon Nimmo cuts one through the wind, just beyond the grasp of the right fielder, Nick Castellanos.
Breaking a 1-1 tie in the sixth, Howie Rose on Mets Radio. Edwin Diaz got the final 6 outs of a 2-1 victory. The Mets are currently the second wild card, winning a tie with Arizona. The Braves 2 games behind them. New York is in Atlanta 4-3 starting tomorrow. The 1962 Mets, they've got some company this morning. The White Sox losing in San Diego yesterday 4-3. That is loss number 120, matching those expansion Mets for the most since 1900. They've got a full week to go. I'm assuming they're going to lose at least one more time, and they'll have the record all to themselves.
Wow, I'm sure they're super proud.
Well, this is what EJ wanted, though, right? Finish the deal.
So happy. This is what we needed. You don't want to be the second worst team ever. You just want to be the worst.
I guarantee they'd rather be the second worst. Those players would rather be the second. Nobody remembers second worst. We're still talking about the Mets. They wrote a whole book about that bad team.
And then there is a weird group of within Met fans that didn't want the White Sox to get there because they've grown to love the infamy of 40 and 120 in 62. Like they wanted to keep
this
for themselves.
This is like the bizarro Mercury Morris who passed away over the weekend. So may he rest in peace. Where he used to pop the champagne when everyone, the last undefeated team, would go down to preserve, you know, the undefeated season.
But at least that's an accomplishment.
Like a bizarro, I know. That's why I don't understand why anyone's rooting for their team to be the worst and to remain the worst of all time.
No, it's
silly.
We the Mets, I think there's a little bit of a personal thing of like, oh, we went and then became the Miracle Mets in 69. Yeah. I think there's some of that reason why they like that. No, if you're a White Sox fan, you suffered through this horrendous season. I want history to be made. I want to be able to tell my kids, look, little boy, like we're like the White Sox I watched were the worst team you've ever seen, and I sat through all of it. Like
what
story
do you want,
is
a
there?
Medal for that?
This is your World War II. I'm confused.
Honestly, like, yeah. Your kid would be like, this is my Normandy. I mean, why did you keep watching when they kept losing all that whole time? No, you always want to lose in anonymity.
Are you going to call your son Little Boy?
Little Boy Stewart.
I mean, I didn't want to give away a future name for what I would want my son to be named. So I was like, I'm not going to keep that to myself.
But it's as if you don't remember his name. Hey, Little Boy here in the living room.
Gather around, son. Wait, did we ever figure out EJ's middle name?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah, I know it.
I mean,
interest.
He guessed like, if this was a password on like a website, you would have been locked out.
The machine would have set us up on fire. Yeah. Like, we are self-destructing.
It was Jay, right?
Yes, he gave me like a rapid fire 60 names and finally came down to one. I was like, all right, I guess
he won. Did the chat ever guess it? The Weedos and Coffee Drinkers?
I don't think they did, no.
I think they went with Jebediah.
Yeah, they're just going with Jebediah from now on. And that and Jehoshaphat. Those are the two that they like.
That would have been really cool of your parents.
And when I got it, you made me promise not to say it, and I've kept my mouth shut for months now.
I know.
Is today the day?
It's all locked up.
I feel like you guys should have to guess again.
Oh my gosh, I can't remember all the names we guessed. Because if it's something like Joseph, I'm going to feel like a real
idiot.
It's not. All right.
What was the one you just said? Josephette?
Josephette.
That almost sounds like Boba Fett. What planet are you from? Which star system? Caitlin Clark's postseason debut, forgettable. 11 points, 2 of 13 from 3. Her fever took a 93-69 beating from the Sun, but Clark did somehow win Rookie of the Year unanimously yesterday morning. Asia Wilson, a unanimous MVP, second player to do that, fourth to win 3 MVPs total. She then posted 21 points, 8 boards, 5 blocks, as her Aces took Game 1 with Seattle 78-67. And Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama remain atop the AP college football poll. Tennessee is now number 5, and I believe the U is up to number 7.
Wow.
Let's go.
Let's go. Beat
Tough
Ball
schedule.
State.
Yeah.
Hey, beat South Florida this week. Relax.
Yeah. I can't wait till they get into the Final Four and get blown out in their first playoff game. I've been relishing.
No, not the Final Four, baby. Wow. The Final 12.
Right, I'm just
they get
saying.
To the Final Four,
but won't they be a top four seed?
If they win the conference,
oh,
yeah.
Right.
Well,
I'm just saying, it's 12. I'm just saying they're definitely going to ease into this thing. Because what's the toughest team they play? Louisville? Or they don't know?
Probably Louisville.
Yeah. Who's what, 19?
Is Lamar Jackson still there?
No, Lamar, unfortunately, he I don't know if he graduated, but he definitely has no more eligibility. I can say that much.
Well, it's definitely not North Carolina.
No, it's definitely not North Carolina. It's definitely not Florida State. Yeah.
Hey, Georgia Tech. We thought maybe for a minute. There's no one.
The seas have parted. Right. But my question, though, why is
Clemson?
Perloff,
you'll play in the ACC championship.
Yeah, and that's going to be the game, I think. But why is Perloff like?
I can't.
Why are you wishing for my downfall? I don't root against the Eagles. I only root against the Sixers and the Phillies. That's it. Those teams have a direct line to my team's success. Mm. You have no, we have no beef with Penn State or whoever, whatever Philly school you want to, you know, claim this week. Like, why are you hating on the Hurricanes?
What'd you do to Dartmouth, EJ?
Right, Miami's not. They're not playing Dartmouth. Sorry,
because I think the only level of humility you have is how bad your teams are. If you come in here,
wow.
If you
that's
come in
a
here,
sentence.
Wow,
come in here.
I'll see myself out.
You're just going to be so uber confident for the U is good because all fans of the U are exactly this way. It's been that way since the beginning of time.
Burn.
Wow.
All the things. Wow. After everything we've been through.
Wow.
Rush hour.
Wait,
one,
is that
rush hour two.
I didn't mean that as a burn.
That was bad.
Wait, what
Ryan,
are you talking about?
The Greek chorus. You were doing impersonation of Jerry Jones. That was Bill Belichick. That was a burn.
I wasn't meant as a burn.
You said his only level of humility.
Oh my gosh.
Is because your teams suck.
Yeah. Perloff's like, what?
I don't understand what's going on here.
You're a raging egomaniac, except for Miami football.
I didn't say he was a raging egomaniac.
He didn't?
855-212-4227. We're going to let Perloff sit with that one. Coming up, we have to give someone their flowers yesterday. We've got some surprise 3-0 teams. Can they win their NFL divisions? Get to that next, Maggie Perloff. How about the Minnesota Vikings? Welcome back to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. 3-0, Pearl, leading the NFC North, taking out the 49ers and the Houston Texans in back-to-back weeks, and it feels like Brian Flores' defense is what's leading the way.
Yeah. All logic says they should be able to keep this up. I think they're coming back down to earth.
What indicators do you have?
I have no indicators whatsoever.
I was going to say, where's your proof?
Sam Darnold.
Well, I'll give you that.
He's played incredibly well, but he still makes a few boneheaded plays. You're like, why'd you do that? And last year, by the way, there were a lot of games where Brian Flores just completely flustered the opposing quarterbacks. But then there were games where other teams seemed to figure him out. When I say come down to earth, I do think I actually would take them as a playoff team. I'm just not sure this is going to be like the 13-3 Case Keenum year. I think that they're going to be a little more humble than that.
Well, I don't know. 13-3 is going to be a lot. I think the division is still going to be heard from, even though the Packers have done very well without Jordan Love, and the defense was really good yesterday in Nashville. And right now, Detroit, I'm still waiting for that offense to break out again, and they really haven't.
Ooh,
yesterday
but they
was
can
a
run.
They can, but yesterday I thought I would describe that as kind of like this real constipated kind of offense for the Detroit Lions yesterday.
I thought the Lions were impressive yesterday. They controlled that game the entire time. They ran for 200 yards. Like, they're really effective.
But they couldn't separate themselves really from the Cardinals. That game was 20-10, and then it was 23. It was a one-score game for.
I mean, the win probability, I think, was over. I watched a lot of the game. It was over 85% the entire time.
Anyway, but they didn't like put the, they didn't put a lot of distance between themselves and the Arizona Cardinals. Meanwhile, Sam Darnold, 4 touchdown passes, no picks yesterday, did have to leave the game at one point, but came back in. So you're wondering, you know, how hurt could he possibly be? But, you know, not very. And meanwhile,
apparently, but there is a report that he might be getting an MRI today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So it might have been adrenaline fuel. And he did get his leg crunched back in a weird way.
So here's the thing about the Sam Darnold, like pixie dust kind of running out on Sam Darnold. You still have Aaron Jones, who is awesome.
Yeah,
His ability to run the ball along with Justin Jefferson, who can catch anything from anybody. Like, it doesn't matter. He's just that good. So I don't know. The Aaron Jones part of this makes me think that maybe with Darnold, when Darnold's sailing passes and can't complete, you know, a 5-yard pass, then nothing's going to work. But he's not been that guy yet.
What's the most games you've ever gotten out of Aaron Jones in a season, though?
Well,
let's see. I will pull it up, vamp here for a second. So he played 11 last year, 17 in 2022, 15, 14. I just feel like if you're going to use Aaron Jones at a high level, then like every running back these days in the NFL, there's an injury risk. Also, the Vikings schedule gets really tough coming up here. If they are for real and they can be, you know, they got the Jets on here, the Lions, there's a lot of big challenges coming up, including Green Bay. We'll see if Jordan Love plays.
But to be honest, I thought the last two games were big challenges. You're playing San Francisco and you're playing Houston, and they handled both of them.
They seem to have San Francisco's number. San Francisco's injured, and Houston had no interest in going on the road yesterday. They were clearly disinterested about 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah, that's not a great sign. You said that it doesn't matter. I'm like, I don't know. I kind of feel like it does matter. Now,
why?
The AFC South is, we'll see what happens with the Jags tonight, but that has not been a great-looking division.
An out-of-conference game on the road early in the season, if there's a game that doesn't matter, it was this game.
I know people are talking about C.J. Stroud to be an MVP candidate, not with two interceptions like that.
Yeah, I'm not panicking at all about the Texans. They just like the game got off the rails really, really early, partly because of Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I was going to say the Vikings were great yesterday. I think they deserve the flowers. Phil's in Pennsylvania, wants to talk about the Eagles. Not happy with the coaching situation, Phil.
Yep, still not. Another week, another botched, you know, decision-making. I mean, field goals. I guess he's allergic to them. I mean, before the end of the half, and then another fourth and four from the 35-yard line, kicking a field goal, and the one he decides to kick, 60-yarders. I mean, not everyone can hit those. Yeah. And still, I mean, literally the score that just jumped in front of my car has better decision-making than Sirianni.
Phil, I'm kind of with you. I can't tell. Is he a go-for-it-all-the-time guy or not? You know, it's like he at times is really, it's too aggressive, not taking the field goals before the end of the halves. But then I feel like at the end of the game, he's not as aggressive. I can't figure it out.
It's Brandon Staley 2.0. He was basically getting killed for going for so many times that he wimped out and it ended up costing him.
I know, but like, that's the thing. Phil, thank you for the call, dude. Good to hear from you. And sorry you're ticked off about Sirianni, but it's like, you've got to either be Dan Campbell and you really got to live and die with it. If you're going to be that aggressive, because when you start flip-flopping, then your team doesn't know who you are. I think there's something to that.
I think the more universal criticism is that he has to take the points. I mean, so many people are saying that. It is hurting them. Dennis Allen had some really weird fourth down decisions as well. I think coaches are struggling with this because, first of all, have you noticed it seems harder to get a fourth down yard nowadays? Like, nobody's sneaky. QB sneak. That's what I always say.
Your Eagles made the tush push famous, and you're trying to get too cute where you pull out from the tush push and then start going around to the other side. It was silly.
Well, they're in love with Saquon Barkley. They think they don't need the tush push because they have Saquon.
Thank God you have Saquon. What would you have done yesterday without him? Meanwhile. Eagles win feels like a loss, doesn't it? 855-212-4227. That's how callers are treating it. Nick Sirianni should still be fired. Team didn't look that great. Meanwhile, the 49ers actually were on their way to a win, and then it turned into a loss. We'll get to that next.